All right. And that event was as mysterious as the music. What in the world is going on? Is what the whole town thought. Oh, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you so much for today, for Pentecost Sunday. Thank you, Lord, that you fulfilled your prophecy in Joel 2, 28 to 29 on the day of Pentecost. And Lord, we just thank you that as we study this together today, Lord, that you deepen our revelation and understanding of what your will is for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting in Acts 2, 16 through 18, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel that was also spoken in the book of Acts. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So everything in the Gospels was moving towards the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. We grew up Pentecost, so this Pentecost experience was something we just simply grew up with. We thought everybody understood it, everybody had it, you know, everybody participated, but we found out, you know, the older you get, what you think is normal at home is not normal. Well, it's your normal. But it's pretty strange sometimes to other people. And so, you know, we were called holy rollers and all kinds of things, you know, and rumors would go around that they're swinging from the chandeliers and they're running across the pews. And sometimes they did run across the pews. I never saw anyone swing from a chandelier, but I did see people preach from the tops of the pews and run across the pews and run around the church and all kinds of things when the Holy Spirit would get a hold of them. You know, and when God pours out his Spirit, when it becomes a revelation to people, sometimes it's an extreme before it's brought back into balance. Have you ever noticed that in your own life? Sometimes things are extreme and then God brings it back into balance, or you're on this side of the tracks and then you end up way over here until God teaches you. But anyway, it's okay. In the 70s, I think they came up with the new term of charismatics. So it became a more respectable name. You're charismatics now. And charismatic comes from the word charisma, which is the gift. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're the charisma. They're the anointing. They're the grace gifts. It comes from a root word that actually means grace. So the gifts of God, this Holy Spirit that he's pouring out is a grace gift to us. And so we're going to read some passages once again from John. We were in John last week. We're going to start John 1, 29, 31. And this is when Jesus received the baptism. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water.'" John the Baptist came baptizing with water to bring the attention to the Lamb of God that was coming, who was going to be the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So let's read the next part. John 1, 32 and 33 says, "And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So Jesus was considered the first person to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, the Gospels, when you study the Gospels and you compare them, it's called the Synoptic Gospels. You put them side by side and take a look at them. And we've done some of that in Deborah Troop. But something very interesting about the four Gospels is there is only one miracle that is mentioned in each one of them. And that's the miracle of feeding the 5,000. So in all four Gospels, the statement that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, it is mentioned in every single one of them. It's an emphasis in the scripture. So Jesus is the baptizer. It's in Mark 1 and John 1. And John the Baptist proclaimed that Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit, while in Matthew 3 and Luke 3, it adds to it. It says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John was sent to baptize with water, and like I said, it was to direct people's attention to Jesus, the coming, the one that was coming, that was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And the promise of the coming of the Spirit. We're going to go to John 7 now. I'm going to read through some passages in John, and then Apostle Leonard is coming. He's going to share from his book. But this is about in the middle of Jesus' ministry. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. Now that was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the Passover. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you've probably heard the statement, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Have you ever heard that? This translation says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus wasn't talking about conversion, and he wasn't talking about regeneration, and he wasn't talking to unbelievers. Jesus was speaking to believers, and he said, those who believe on him. So the gift of the Holy Spirit could not take place until Jesus ascended to the Father. And so this last week we were in the book of John, and we were talking about how Jesus was sharing with his disciples that he was going to go away, and they were really troubled about that because they had been with Jesus and they couldn't understand why he would be leaving them now. They had given up their life to follow Jesus. And yet now Jesus is saying he's going away and they can't go with him. So this whole book of John is the final conversations that Jesus had with his disciples, 14, 15, and 16 chapters. When you read through that, it's the last conversation he had with his disciples before he was crucified. And the main thing that he talked about was the coming of the Holy Spirit. So let's read John 14, 15 to 18. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So for those who love him and keep his commandments, he's going to pray and ask the Father to send another comforter. Jesus Christ was the comforter when he was here on earth in the flesh. But when he got to heaven, he was telling him, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another comforter. So, you know, some Christians say, if God wanted me to have the Holy Ghost are the Holy, we always call it the Holy Ghost, and most translations are the Holy Spirit now. But anyway, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, then it's just going to have to happen, because I'm not gonna ask for it. If He wants me to have it, He's just got to give it to me. Well, if Jesus went to the Father, think about this, and asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, then who are we to think that we don't need to ask for it when it's clearly told us in Luke that we are to ask for it? Do you see how that can be such a mindset? I think it's a mindset of fear that they're not going to receive it. But Pastor Leonard's going to teach, and when he taught in Africa, it was like hundreds of people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, ask the Father. And He's going to get there soon. So He actually places the obligation on us to ask for the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. That word comforter is the paraclete. It's an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. As an encourager, the Holy Spirit encourages us, stirs us up, speaks to us. You know, if there's anything in your life that's discouraging you, don't blame that on God. That is not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. People get confused sometimes and say, well, you know, this must be God. No, it's not God, because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's a helper. He's an encourager. And that's what God sent to the earth. He didn't send us discouragement. That all comes from Satan. So He said, I'll give you another comforter. And Jesus was emphasizing the personality of the Holy Spirit. Because God the Father is a person. God the Son came as a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He's another comforter. Jesus was going away. He said, I'm sending another person, and He will come, and He'll be your encourager, and He will stay with you forever. He's coming. Jesus basically was saying, He's coming to take my place. He's the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive Him. Have you noticed how the world cannot acknowledge the truth about many things? Have you noticed it? It's so prevalent today. The world cannot receive Him, and the world is the unbelievers. The unbelievers need to receive salvation. But if you are a believer, a child of God, you need the Comforter. Somebody say amen. John 14, 25 to 26 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now this is Jesus having a direct conversation with His disciples. So Jesus, when He was here on this earth, He relied on the Holy Spirit. Do you remember? He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father says. But what Jesus was saying, don't worry, because there is a teacher that's coming that can explain things to you that you didn't understand when I told Him to you. And He can remind you of things that I spoke that you've already forgotten. So actually, the ministry of Jesus was incomplete when He left His disciples. They couldn't understand, and they couldn't remember. So we shouldn't feel so bad, right? Because sometimes we have a hard time understanding and remembering too. But when we rely upon the Holy Ghost, and that's what Jesus was telling, the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. John 15, 25 to 27. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper, the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so they weren't ready to go out and minister yet. They weren't qualified yet to be witnesses because all of this is happening before the day of Pentecost. And in John 16, 6 to 7, it says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus had to go away for the Holy Spirit to come to the earth. Jesus said, while I'm here on the earth, he can't come to you. And you might have thought, and I've thought this before, oh, if I could just have been with Jesus in the flesh, you know, and saw him and worked with him in his ministry, if I had just walked with him and talked with him like the disciples did. But the truth is, we are not inferior in our experience with Jesus. Because the fleshly contact did not give them the knowledge that they needed. They needed the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us we know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because fleshly knowledge is done away with because the Holy Spirit was sent to give a spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is. So the Holy Spirit is the revelator of Jesus Christ. So we're going to know him more intensely than even his disciples knew him when they walked with him in the flesh because they did not have the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus Christ to us. Someone say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So that same provision that was poured out on the day of Pentecost is available to us today. John 16:13 says this. This is Jesus talking. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And in this particular verse, Jesus broke the grammar laws of the Greek language because that pronoun would have been an it. In the Greek, there's masculine and feminine and neuter genders. And so this particular pronoun would have been translated it if he had followed the grammar laws. But the writer of the gospel, he wanted to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a he. He can't understand Jesus. We can't understand Jesus without the person of the Holy Spirit. Because what he hears, he speaks to us. And what he says, he speaks to us. And we used to sing a song in Pentecost. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Something about the Holy Ghost I cannot explain, but I got it. Well, that was many years ago. And as you grow in a revelation and understanding of the Word of God, it's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He comes and lives in us, abides in us. He never leaves us. He's always there for us. If we could only open up our eyes and understand the revelation and the gift and the treasure of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has poured out to us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's great ministry is to teach us about Jesus. And at this time, Apostle Leonard's going to come and he's going to share with us from Unleashing the Supernatural.
Okay. Basically, the Bible says always keep praying without what? Ceasing. So that's just a constant. So Apostle Paul instructed the church to pray without stopping. And the Living Bible puts it clearly, always keep on praying. So it is important that we keep on praying. Prayer is basically a direct aspect of the church life. And we are commanded to keep praying constantly. And so how do we pray without ceasing? Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That word supplication means a request. So we just want to keep giving a request, don't we? And it also says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints, which is Ephesians 6:18. So that's really important, isn't it? So also in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. That's good, isn't it? We have direct instant access. For no one hears, but in the Spirit speaks that mystery, or whatever we pray in the Spirit, the Lord fulfills the prayer that he wants. Also, 1 Corinthians 14:15, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my mind. So there's quite a bit of excesses of praying there. Also, it's a heavenly prayer language. So what does it actually mean to pray in the Spirit? And because some of those don't believe about praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues, and they kind of refuse this phenomenal question. But praying in the Spirit means to be led by the Spirit out of your spirit, which is important. And there are two kinds of Spirit-led prayers. One is done with the mind, and the other one isn't done with the tongue, which absolutely bypasses the mind or the thinking. Paul advocates this when he says, I will pray with the Spirit, but I will also pray with understanding. So we can pray with the understanding, or we can just pray, Lord, what does the Spirit want? And just pray in tongues. And praying in the Spirit is synonymous to, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That word utterance means a voice and a language. So we want to pray with a voice and a language with the Lord, which is Acts 2:4. What happened when the Spirit gave them that utterance? They spoke with other tongues. What is called Spirit-led prayers, by praying in the Spirit. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. But in the Spirit, he prays and speaks mysteries. So that is important. There's times that we want to pray. We want to say, Lord, I don't know what I want to pray. So just pray in the Spirit. And then that mystery is spoken to the Lord. Also, praying in the Spirit is a heavenly language of your spirit and tongues. Someone said, some people say, well, the tongue, that spirit of tongues is of the devil. But in Acts, it says the tongues are the wonderful works and acts of God. Hallelujah. So if praying in tongues was evil, Paul would have been demon-possessed because he's the one that kind of really wrote it. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. And he was one of the greatest apostles, wasn't he? So that is totally contrary, to what some people think. I'm just saying it's the word of God. Also, Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues. So when we utter those powerful words, He says, I would that you speak with tongues more than you all. So we should, and also you all should speak in tongues. So it's important that he spoke the words from the Lord, and praying and speaking in tongues are fulfillment of the prophecy Jesus announced, what Janet talked about, on the day of his ascension. So Paul is speaking in the mind of God on the matter of tongues, where we must hear that he is to say, and it's kind of the light of God. So in the issue in the early church, unlike the modern church, was not whether people spoke in tongues or not, but rather how much they did speak in tongues. Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Again, and that was a secret. So, and it goes on to say that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues. And that's what happened when we was down in Kenya. Those people, they were born and raised in a religion like Buddha and Muslim and that. And when they spoke in tongues, there was more than a half a dozen that laid on the ground and crawled like snakes backwards, and the devils came out of them. It was really something, because they were like, you know, on the floor, and Satan come out. So when you speak in tongues, it actually drives out that the enemy, doesn't it? Also, when we are praying in tongues, you are in good company. You are sounded, totally surrounded. You are engulfed in the Spirit. And you're in what they call decent order. So the Lord has said that the believer will speak with new tongues when the matter is settled. So you are on the right hand of the plan of God when you pray in tongues. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God made his grand entry, promised by the Father, this is what happened on Acts 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And that utterance is like, you know, the sound, the speaking in tongues, hallelujah. I mean, you know. So this is good. Jesus said he will lead you and guide you in all truth, as he is the Spirit of truth. In 1 John 16:13. The devil will try to do his best to keep you away from tongues, because he knows that you tap into this, you know, power of the Holy Spirit, and then you will no longer be victims of circumstances. He comes up with some kind of lies to discount the marvelous prayer language. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And again, they will speak with new tongues. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter did not preach in tongues, but he preached in his own language. But it says there, on the day of Pentecost, more than 3,000 souls were saved on that day. So tongues is still for us today. I do have one testimony. There was this young man who come to church, and he smoked cigarettes every single day. And, you know, he smoked basically 1.5 packs of cigarettes a day. And so let's add that up. A pack of cigarettes is roughly $7 plus taxes, I think. I don't know. But 1.5 packs, let's just say $10, okay? How much is 10 times 365 days? 3,650. And how much is that times 10 years? 36,000. Wait a minute. So I actually told him about praying in tongues, because, you know, when you pray in tongues, it takes away that desire, that evil thought, say, like, you know, alcohol, robbing stuff. So he actually, I told him, you start praying in tongues. The moment you have a desire, pray in tongues. And he says he prayed in tongues, and you know, he didn't pick it up. Then had another thought an hour later, prayed in tongues. And then he said one time he went to the gas station to go get it, and he prayed in tongues, and he never bought them since. So he's free. So it's important. That's just one aspect of it. So tongues is still for us today. Well, the Bible says praying in the Spirit. I told him the scripture. It says it overcometh our infirmities. Well, infirmities are sinful desires and, you know, bad habits and weaknesses. So anybody, pray in the Spirit if we have a weakness, right? Also, tongues is still in the Great Commission. It stated in the last chapters of Gospel of Matthew and Mark and others. It said Jesus said that the sign that will follow the New Testament is people and believers speaking in new tongues. The word new is the same word in the Greek as a new creature. How many want to be new persons? So, yeah, so we pray in the Spirit, it become new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That new, it means something new and unheard of, a brand new kind, a brand new species that never existed, and guess what? Fresh and new. So that's good. When we speak in tongues, we become fresh and new, don't we? So when we are born again believers, we become brand new pieces, brand new species of everything that never existed before. Likewise, speaking in tongue is something fresh and recently made of a new kind, unprecedented, uncommon, and unheard of. And it was not so from Abraham to John the Baptist, you know, but it was ordained, you know, in the church, you know, at the day of Pentecost. So that's really important in the upper room. So, but now the Bible says he has poured out all spirit on all flesh, or, you know, the Holy Spirit. So each one of you have the Holy Spirit. So that is important. And speaking in tongues is a prayer and a phenomenon that belongs to believers on this side. Because the Bible says the veil was rent in twain, which means it's an open door, you know, with his resurrection. So now it's time to open and have access to the throne of God. And so with that veil being opened, we have full access, don't we? So as a believer, it's important that we also increase that anointing and to, you know, develop that art of prayer in the Spirit. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would that you would not be ignorant, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, all right, I'm going to release that power of the Holy Spirit right now so everybody can speak in tongues. So if you don't ever spoke in tongue, you might want to get in a group of two or three, or we could. Should we get people in groups of two or three? Okay. Well, if you could, just try to look around and get around somebody, because I'm going to release the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody in here is going to speak in tongues because I have the scriptures for you. And it's in Luke 11:9. Would you get that, Angela? Oh, it's up there. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. All right. Why don't we just kind of all read this together? So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, would he give him a snake instead? Or he asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, human characters, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So all we have to do is say, Father, give me the Holy Spirit, and guess what? Boom, you got it right now. So we are going to basically ask the Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And remember, I just want to tell you, you can't speak in English and you can't speak in tongues at the same time because it's not the same language. So we're going to kind of repeat the prayer, this next one. Angela? Yeah, could we stand and get in groups? And then we'll repeat this prayer. There it is. Yeah, Janet will help. And we're going to kind of read this prayer out loud, but then afterwards I'm going to kind of lead out and then you can all follow. So the prayer is, Father, you said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You give good gifts to your children. I am your child. So I ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues right now. Thank you for giving it to me. It's mine. So all we have to do is we're going to begin to pray. And basically we just start out with the word la, la. And then after that, let the Holy Spirit just keep leading you on. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for right now that you just release that power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin to speak in tongues, and it is ours. So let's all go ahead and start out. La la shaka ta la 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 ba ma siya ha ba 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 ka siya. Yes, go ahead. Ba 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 ka siya. Shanda la la ma ka saka ta la ma siya. Yes, I feel the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. Shika ta la ba 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 ka siya. Ha ba ba. It's okay. Yeah, just start out with the la la shina la ma ba ba ka siya. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for everyone in here has a supernatural anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody, and just whatever you keep feeling, it's good. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the prayer of the Spirit. For you pray. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your supernatural. That word dunamis, power, is actually the same word as dynamite. Dynamite, dunamis power. Thank you, Lord, for your power of the Holy Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, it actually slaps Satan upside the face. Because it's a prayer that he don't understand, but it goes straight to God. Thank you for the throne of God. Well, that's good. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I have a complete book that I wrote, and I think there was 38 some reasons, but guess what? Bishop Hammond's got a new book, and it's in the upper 70s, different aspects of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Jesus, for your power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Yeah, I feel good. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. All right. Well, that was step one. Don't worry. You're just going to keep going.
Let's just keep praying in the Spirit. And Jeff, can you go up and play a little bit of music? Let's just keep praying. You know, it's time for breakthrough. If you've got the Holy Ghost, who here would like to receive the baptism? Wave at us. Hallelujah. All right, you're right there. You can pray in her ear. And you want to receive the Holy Spirit too? Yes, Lord. Joyce, will you come pray right here? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just keep praying in the Holy Spirit. You've got to open your mouth for the Lord to fill it. He's not going to talk for you. You've got to open your mouth and begin to move your tongue. for the Lord to be able to take your tongue. So you got to surrender the unruly member of the body unto the Lord today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's breakthrough time. You ask and you shall receive. You can't give up so quick. Jesus, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Hanamashata. Sikamana da 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 da. We're going to keep praying in spirit while we get ready to receive communion this morning. Sikamashata. Sikamashata. Sikamana da 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 da. Thank you, Jesus. Harabasata. Sikapata. Sikanananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananananan We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Shikamasata, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Shikamashata, we're not putting the Holy Spirit in the back room because we all need the Holy Spirit. Shikamashata, da 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 da. You can just keep praying in the Spirit and come forward and receive your communion this morning. Take it back with you and we'll receive it together. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Shikamashata sita. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Harabashata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Harabashata, harabashata. Sikamanararariyo shokoposoto. Sikamanararariyo shoto. Sianananararariyo shata. Sianananararariyo shokomonariyo sata. Kialalalalalalalalariyo shokoposoto. Sianananararariyo shokoposoto. Did everyone get communion that wanted it? Did you need someone to serve you, Becky? Okay, you did. Okay. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did anyone speak in tongues this morning that has never spoken tongues before? Your brother? There he is. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your spirit this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We all have the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another level that the Lord gives to us. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. We call it the gift because it's the anointing. It's the baptism. And it's evident by speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when you need to pray, you just pray in your prayer language. Hallelujah. Bishop says you should be praying at least an hour a day in tongues. Because that is what we need in this season, is just to be able to connect with the Lord. We don't know what we're praying always, but the Holy Spirit knows. Right. And He prays the perfect prayer. Do you want the perfect prayer in your life, over your life, over your situation? Then pray in the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who would like to pray further when service is ended, we can come up and do that today. So let's get ready to receive our communion. And thank you, Apostle Leonard. It was very good to hear from you today. Can someone say amen? Amen. Amen. All right. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so tomorrow, many in America will celebrate Memorial Day. And unfortunately, the true meaning of it often gets lost in the barbecues and the boat rides and the picnics. But for many people, tomorrow will be a very special day to connect with military service again. And the main reason for the holiday is because they paid the ultimate sacrifice, just like our Savior paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so today, we bless the bread and we bless the cup. Lord, as we get ready to receive this together, let's hold up the bread. And this is a symbol of His body that was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. So when we take this bread, we remember Jesus paid the price for our healing. Let's take the bread. This cup is a reminder of Jesus. It's a reminder of the shedding of His blood. And without it, there's no remission of sin. It's a reminder that eternal life is only found in the bloody death of God's perfect Lamb. We remember that He died the death we should have died for the payment of our sin. Let's take of the cup. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the shedding of your blood. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your life for us. And Lord, we can stand here today forgiven. We can stand here today in right standing before you, O God. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Bless us today. In Jesus' name. And Lord, remember our soldiers tomorrow.